And finally, one sailor said, "Yeah, I know how to pray." He said, "Good. While we get our life jackets on, you pray, because we're one short." Maybe you got up this morning feeling like there's one short in your life, or you're disadvantaged, or maybe everybody else is floating and you're sinking. Sort of like the backwoods preacher that was going from town to town and came across this little boy. He was all dirty and hair disheveled, all alone. Obviously hadn't eaten for a while, just a little skinny kid, playing in the dirt. And he said, "Son, where's your daddy?" He said, "Oh, they hung him last week." He said, "They hung him? Whoa, well, where's your mama?" "Well, after the hanging, she ran off." Man, the preacher's like, this kid is just, you know, in trouble. "All right, where's your sister?" "Well, my sister, she's in jail." "Jail? Yeah, they locked her up, so she's in jail." "Well, do you have a brother?" "Yeah, I do, but he's at Harvard University." And the preacher went, "Wow, that's great. At least one in your family is achieving, you know, great things. What is he studying?" And the little boy looked up at him and said, "Sir, he ain't studying nothing. They're studying him." I encourage all the graduates, when you go off to college, no, I'm not even going to go there. But sometimes, you know what? We can't choose our families. Some of us are born into situations kind of like that little boy. Dysfunctional, full of pain, sorrow all around. We think, why me? Why did I have to be born and raised here? I'm disadvantaged. I'm dysfunctional. My life just is full of pain. And I don't get it. I don't get why I'm the one, just because I know how to pray, I'm the guy without a life jacket. I've been serving God. I've been doing everything I can, and it seems like things don't work out. I want to share with you today that sometimes what we need to do is tune in to hear God's voice in moments of uncertainty. Amen. Let me remind you in Luke chapter 5, it's pretty interesting. Jesus calls his disciples while they're fishing. And he tells them he's going to make them fishers of men. Now, it's interesting that he closes out the chapter with his disciples fishing in John 21. But in that moment, they had been out all night. They had been toiling. They were doing everything they can because they were professionals and they couldn't catch anything. As soon as they get back, what do when they meet Jesus? Jesus says, "Launch back out into the deep." A carpenter trying to tell a fisherman what to do. And he said, "What I want you to do is I want you to cast the net on the other side." I thought about that and I said, "God, if you're God, just cause the fish to swim on my side. Because I'm tired. I'm tired. I can't pull that net up and then let it back down and pull it back up again. I've been doing this all night. There's nothing in there." But Jesus really wasn't trying to get them to go through the mechanics or gain a new methodology about Christianity. What he was trying to prove to them was, if you'll hear me, if you'll just listen to what I've got to say, your miracle's on the other side of your obedience. And I would encourage every person that got up this morning full of pain. Because while we may have church clothes on and while we may be enjoying the music and the testimonies, inside there's a hollow spot that is full of pain. It might be rejection, it might be unforgiveness, it might be abuse of some kind, physically or sexually, but we carry it all the time. It might be rejection, but it's sort of like the devil puts a big hook into our soul and all he has to do is pull on that chain once in a while and man, we feel it as if it just happened to us. Pain is an amazing thing and some of us really don't understand what it's like. I heard a testimony recently with the team that went to Haiti. They went to the children's hospital and Jeremiah and his team had raised enough money to pay for all the medication for all 16 children in that intensive care unit. But one child whose skin was literally falling off of its body, they thought it was a burn unit. And when they inquired from the medical field what had happened to the child, they said, oh, the child wasn't burned. This is just the final stages of malnutrition. You see, we don't understand pain like that, but there are some people that do. You may not have it on the outside. You may be carrying it on the inside. And just like that baby who would not stop crying until they gathered around and they began to pray and they asked God to comfort that child, heal that child, because the child was so far gone they wouldn't even take nutrition. But when they began to pray, suddenly the baby stopped crying and began to be comforted by the prayers of the faithful. You know, sometimes pain is guised in all kinds of things. I mean, what does it take to drive a young woman to hide away someplace in a closet or in a bedroom or somewhere down a hallway that's darkened and taking out a razor and begin cutting herself in places that cannot be visually seen, but somehow that pain relieves the inner pain that is so strong? Or what about those individuals who the only way they can medicate themselves is to take another drug or take another drink and somehow know that even though they ingest this into their system, it's going to give a momentary relief, but the consequences are grave. We're talking about real pain. We're talking about people who have seen pain for generation after generation. Their grandmother knew pain and their mother knew pain, and now that they are alive, they know pain, and they've almost come to the conclusion that this is the way life is. This is the way it's going to be for me. It reminds me of a story that many of you know very well and I'm going to take us to this morning. But when I announce his name, please don't predetermine the message. I want you to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 4. In verse 9 and 10, and this gentleman's name is Jabez. It's been made famous by a book that was published some years ago and how we now repeat the prayer of Jabez for increase and prosperity. But while I identify that there's prosperity there and I identify that, yes, there is peace there, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 to 10, what I want to center in on is the meaning of his name. Now, if you notice in the scripture, it says Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. But his mother called him Jabez, and there was a reason. Notice the reason. She called him Jabez because she bore him in pain. Now, we don't know the whole history of his birth. Maybe his father was just killed in battle. Maybe the mother was suffering and ultimately died in giving birth to Jabez. Maybe they were impoverished or had gone through famine. Maybe they had lack or they were given to servitude and sold into slavery. We don't know the story. We don't know the accurate history, but we do know the scripture says this, that she named him pain because that's all she knew. And sometimes we come into this world and we're introduced to the pain of a generation that precedes us. And we kind of follow suit. We kind of followed their steps. There was great pain in their family's family, and now it will be in my family. But Jabez understood something, a principle that we have to get this morning. We're going to look more into his story, but I'm reminded in the same degree that Jabez means affliction, sorrow, or grief of another recorded story in Genesis 35. So open your Bible, look at Genesis 35. This was another mother who was giving birth to her child in pain. We read in this particular account of Genesis 35 that Rachel was about to give birth to her son, Benoni. But I want you to first, before we get to that verse, look at verse 16. It says, and they what? Journeyed from Bethel. You know what pain often causes us to do? It causes us to journey from the house of God. rather than run to the house of God, when we are overtaken by pain, we have a tendency of taking a journey from the house of God. But notice what happened. When there was but a little distance between them and the house of God. See, there are people here this morning who are carrying pain. And I understand that you still love God. Rachel loved God, but she put a little distance between herself and the house of God. I don't know what's caused the separation between you and God. Maybe it's somebody who didn't treat you right, or a pastor that disappointed you, or maybe somebody didn't get healed when you thought they ought to be healed, or maybe somebody offended you and hurt you. But there's a myriad of things that can come into our life that do what? Put a distance between us and the house of God. And we read that she was in labor, but notice what kind of labor? Hard labor. Now, I don't know about as a man that I know what hard labor is about. All I can tell you is that my wife and our fourth child's birth, Louis sitting on the front row, my wife was in 24 hours of very hard labor. And I was right by her side. I was rubbing her back. I was helping her breathe, admonishing her what to do. And every once in a while in her breath, she would look over at me and say, "I don't need your help." I didn't understand the level of her pain, but I was trying to identify with it. And I'm not up here today to tell you as a preacher that I understand and I identify with the level of your pain. I do know this, I have empathy for you. And sometimes as a pastor, my hands are so tied. I don't know how to deal with all the trouble that I hear about. Families call me and ask for prayer, for counseling. What should I do in this situation? I hear about this happening in a marriage, or this happening to a family or their business, or this false accusation comes and it causes chaos and it wreaks havoc in a home. And they say, "Pastor, can you pray for us?" And I think, "God, there's so much pain. I don't know what to tell them." And this was sort of the way it was for Jacob, because Rachel was in hard labor. And the midwife said to her something that I'm going to say to you and to me today. "Do not fear, because you are going to have this son also." In other words, she gave her an encouragement and said, "Your pain may be at a level where you think you're not going to make it, that there is no hope for tomorrow, but I'm here to tell you as a midwife that even though you're in the middle of hard labor and a lot of pain in your life, you're going to give birth to what God has put inside of you." And I would admonish all the graduates that are here today. I'm not promising you a primrose path in the future. I'm not promising you as a preacher that everything is going to go your way. But there'll be many painful days and you'll have hard labor. Just be careful not to put distance between you and the house of God, thinking that if you pursue these things, it can medicate, it can appease the pain that you might be in. Look, don't look to those things. I can tell you from experience, they only complicate the matter. They don't bring deliverance and healing to the matter. I can probably get 20 people to stand up right now and say, "I tried alcoholism. It didn't work. I tried drug addiction. It didn't work. I tried adultery and promiscuity, but it didn't work. Not until I returned to the house of God did I find my place of healing." You see, they're responding because they've been through the pain that you're experiencing here this morning. It's an interesting story as we read in verse 18, Genesis 35. It said, "You're going to have this baby." And so it was as her soul was departing, for she died. You see, what level of pain was she in? To the point of death. She gave birth and she named her son Benoni. Everybody say his name with me, Benoni. You know what it means? It means pained. It means sorrow. It means affliction. Now hold that thought and go back to Jabez, because Jabez's mother gave birth to him and named him Jabez, because Jabez means pain, sorrow, and affliction. We have two birthings, both in great pain, Jabez, and now we see Benoni. But notice what happens. While the world, the circumstances, your situation lays pain on you, his father steps in. It's sort of like he puts his leg around the whole situation and says, excuse me. You may have called him Benoni, painful, afflicted, and that one who will experience in great loss and sorrow. But I call him, say his name, Benjamin. Now, Benjamin means son of my right hand. And let me encourage you today, you could be sitting here in great pain. You could have had circumstantial evidence that say you'll always have pain. You can be experiencing it this morning to the point where you almost didn't come to church today because you feel like maybe the sedative that you need is to put distance between you and God. But let me tell you something, you're here for a reason. And the reason why you're here is because Abba Father wants to rename you. Abba Father wants to step into your life and call you the son of my right hand. I don't know what they've been calling you, drug addict, pervert, incarcerated, a felon. They could call you what they want, but let me tell you what your father calls you. You are the son of his right hand. That's a good place to give God some praise in this place. Come on, give God some praise in this place. Hallelujah. So the question is, what does your father say? See, everything around you this morning could speak of failure. Your own history, your own family. Your father could have been hung last week. Your mother could have ran off. Your sister's in jail. And your brother's being studied at Harvard. Never seen quite the dysfunctional family that you're a part of. You know, there have been times in my life and I thought, God, why was I born in Ohio? Why couldn't I have been born in the Caribbean? Somewhere on the equator. Why do I have to go through snow and winter? Sometimes I wonder about my own background. And I think, God, why did I have to have that circumstance? Why did you allow that to be? Why did you permit that to happen? Do you know what the kind of grief that's caused me? Do you know the rejection I've experienced because of that? Come on, God. Couldn't you have done better than that? But you know, you've got to be careful that you don't complain about where you are. And don't complain about what your life has called you to be. And tune into the voice of casting your net onto the other side. In other words, there may be nothing here, but it's just under the surface. There's more than you need on this side. God's got something for your life that is overabundant. It's net breaking blessing that he wants to place into your life and into your family. Can I get just a little Pentecostal amen? All right. There for a minute, I thought I went to a Presbyterian church. I love Presbyterians. What does your father say about you? I want you to look at Psalm 68, verse 13. What an incredible verse. I just happened to stumble on this verse. I really never put it in the context of this message before. But God's speaking and he says, though you lay down among the sheepfold, that's kind of a weird scripture. In other words, though you may feel like you're one of the ordinary in the bunch, you're part of that dysfunctional clan. But this is what I say about you. You're going to be like the wings of a dove covered with silver, and your feathers are going to be like yellow gold. Now, I have to admit something I've learned some years ago, not to identify with the ordinary. When I got up this morning, I made a covenant between me and God. I said, God, I know that I'm not just natural, and I know that I'm not just ordinary. I know that I'm extraordinary, and I know that I'm supernatural. There are times, and I don't want you to be offended by this, and I'm not trying to make a statement that I am greater than anyone else, but I refuse to identify with a bunch of sick people. I just want you to know that. If that offends you, I'm sorry, but let me give you the illustration. When I go for my yearly physical and I go to the Cleveland Clinic and they have a waiting room almost as big as this auditorium. And there are people everywhere. I refuse to sit among the sick. Okay, I'm just telling you, I'm going to be straight up. I wait out in the hallway. through the door on the other side on the railing waiting for them to call my name. Sometime I'm standing there 45 minutes. But the reason for that is because I feel like I'm a dove that is about to be transformed. In other words, I may not have silver lining and gold yellow feathers, but I'm about to get one. Even though I'm among the sheepfold of all the ordinary, there's something inside of me that says I don't belong here. I might be in the middle of a bad neighborhood, or I might be in a family that's dysfunctional, but there's something inside me that says I don't belong here. Now, there's been moments where I'm standing in that hallway 45 minutes waiting for them to call my name. And while I'm standing out there, I'm walking back and forth. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm declaring that I'm the healed of the Lord. I thank God for my health and my strength and my ability to do great feats for people beyond my not even close to my age. Lord, I can outwork people that are 20 years younger. I can outrun people that are 20 years younger. I thank you, God, that I'm going to have a stellar report, that my doctor's going to ask me what I'm doing. He's going to say, wow, you've got the body of a 20-year-old. Okay, that's taken a little bit too far. That's taking it a little bit too far. But there's attendants and nurses. They see me standing out there. They'll stop and they'll say, sir, can I help you? I said, no, I'm just waiting for my appointment. They said, well, why don't you go in and sit down? I said, I'm sorry. I'd rather hear what God has to say than what Oprah's regurgitating on the television. I don't think I'm going to sit there and listen to the morning show about somebody's whatever dysfunction. I've got enough dysfunction talking to me right now. Excuse me, I need to let the Father come in and call me Benjamin. Everything in my life's trying to call me Ben-Ami, but I got to let God call me son of your right hand. You follow what I'm saying? If I'm going somewhere and there's a line of people going, I look for an alternate route. It's just my nature. I don't go by the way of the masses. I'm among the sheepfold, but I don't belong here. I just feel something inside of me that I can do just about anything that God lays before me in my path. That even though I've never done it, I feel like I'm about to do it. You know what I'm talking about? So this is the whole identity that Jabez gets. So let's go back to the Chronicles in chapter 4 and verse 9. Second Chronicles chapter, First Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9. And let's read it again. The Bible said, now Jabez, read it with me. Now Jabez was more, stop there. Jabez was more what? One more time.
Honorable.
Honorable. We need to get that into our heart. Jabez was more honorable than who? All of his brothers. In other words, Jabez got something inside of him that said, I might be a dove just like all of you sitting here on this branch, but I'm about to be clothed in silver and I'm about to grow yellow gold feathers. I just wanted you to know that. Don't get mad at me. I mean, God loves you like that too, but I'm just special. I'm in favor of God, and I'm about to spread my wings of gold, and I'm about to sport my silver. I just want you to know that. You say, oh, what do you think about you? You just think you're all that and bag of chips, and you think you're better than everybody. I said, no, I don't think I'm better. I just got something inside of me. In other words, I'm a little more honorable than the rest of you. Now, what does the word honorable mean? Let's break that down. Give me the definition. I think I put it up on a slide so you can actually see it and write it down. The Bible calls Jabez more honorable. The word honorable, let's read it, means more responsible. Now hear this. Responsible is a compound word, two words, response-able. So we see that Jabez was a man that was more honorable or more able to respond to God, rather than he responded to man. Now this last Wednesday, the last 2 weeks, I taught on Peter and John, and the reason why they were able to walk in the miraculous is because Acts 4:19 and 20 after they were threatened not to preach in the name of Jesus anymore, they responded and said, you judge whether it's right in the sight of God or man to listen to you more than we listen to God. In other words, if you're going to listen more to man, you're going to stay in the waiting room with everybody else. Or if you're going to listen to the words of man, you're going to follow the patterns of your family. You're going to fall into the traditions and the traps of an addict or an other felon that can't get a job, going to go back into prison as soon as you get back out of prison, because you become a statistic. You become part of the status quo. But if you'll just let your Father step in between all your situation and change your name from Ben-Ani to Benjamin, the son of my right hand, something will get inside of you and suddenly you'll begin more response-able to the voice of God, and you'll quit your complaining. Everybody say this with me. My mouth was not created to grumble and complain. But my mouth was created to rule and reign. Look over at somebody and say, I believe with all my heart. I believe that with all my heart. So the next time Jesus comes to you and says, throw your net onto the other side, watch your mouth.
We've been out here all night. What's he want me to do that for again?
But there'll always be somebody in your boat that says, I'm going to be more response-able to what God says. That's who Jabez was. All of his other brothers were complaining about being out all night and that there is no fish. They concluded there is no fish. How many know it doesn't matter if there isn't any fish? When God said throw the net on the other side, by the time you get the net in the water, if he needs to, he'll create more fish. All right, say dependable.
Dependable.
Committed.
Committed.
Trustworthy.
Trustworthy.
Devoted.
Devoted.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Let me illustrate this. Kyle, do me a favor. Are you ready?
Yes.
Be my illustration. Please stand up, sir. In other words, everybody's sitting, and Jabez... Now I'm going to name you Jabez. His name is Kyle, but I'm going to name him Jabez. He is more honorable than you all. But to illustrate the fact, I'm going to ask you to do something and stand on your seat. Don't fall. Man, to hold him up. Now, if you'll just stand there for a minute, I want to illustrate the fact that Jabez was more honorable than all of his brothers. It's sort of like Joseph when he came walking into the sheepfold with a coat of many colors on him. He was a cut above. He was set apart. Why? Because he was more response able. Here's what's going to lift you out of your pain into your gain. A lot of people say no pain, no gain. And I understand that about the gym. But that word didn't originate in the gymnasium. That word originated in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9 with Jabez. And it also originated with Benjamin, whose situations and life circumstances kept labeling them as painful, afflicted, and sorrowful until the father stepped in and said, you call him that, but this is what I call him. When I got born again, my father in heaven stepped between me and my past, stepped between me and my present, stepped between me and all that was trying to create pain and said, not on my watch. If you're going to get to him, you're going to have to go through me. Now, Kyle is up there because he is separated. He is more honorable. He's more responsible. He's more dependable. He's more committed. He's more trustworthy. He's more devoted. In other words, he had set himself apart that even though he was among the sheepfold, he was expectant that any moment, hear me now, any moment he was about to be clothed in silver and sprout feathers of yellow gold. He understood that because he was more honorable, there was something in him that wouldn't let him stay in his place of pain. Now, church, listen, I want you to look at Kyle. I want you to look at him as being a standout person. He stands above and stands out among all of us. It's easy to see him and identify with him. And all we have to do to become more honorable like him is to be able to be willing to listen, be more responsible, more dependable, more committed, more trustworthy, more devoted. In other words, I know what mom and them did to me. I know what my daddy said, how he hurt me. I know what uncle so-and-so did to me. I know what auntie this and that one did to me and said to me. And I know how they mistreated me at work. And I know the dumb things that I've done. But there's something inside of me that won't let me sit in the waiting room of the sick. I got a feeling that God is about to bless me. Thank you, Kyle. Now, when we look at this, we see you will be like. You will be like. Now, let's go back to the prayer that Jabez prays. And I can't pray, I can't preach on all this prayer. It's too much preach in a moment like this. But go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And verse 10, because Jabez stands out among his brothers, and then he begins to pray. Let's read his prayer. Ready? Starts with O. Ready? It's interesting, a couple of points, that he may not cause pain. He understood that it perpetuates itself. And unless he walked in his covenant and in his new branding, his identity, he would repeat in his children, in his marriage, in his relationships, the pain in others that he experienced in himself. Did you know hurt people hurt others? But here's what I want you to know. He said this, that you would bless me. Now, in order to be blessed in the old covenant, you needed to have the Father's hand of blessing on you. So, Brother Ron, can I bless you? All right. To bless him would be to put his hand upon him and say, I bless you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Jabez was saying, I don't want to live without God's hand on my life. Now, notice this. He said, enlarge my territory. Please say that. Enlarge my territory. Paul teaches in Corinthians that we all have a sphere of influence. In other words, there's a dimension of where you and I live that we interact with certain people and we operate in the revelation knowledge level that we have from God. That's why I've got to be a giver, because I understand the fruits of my righteousness will increase. Therefore, my authority in my sphere will increase. My revelation in my sphere will increase. I'm not satisfied with what I know about God today on this 23rd day of June 2013. I'm anxious to know just a little bit more about God. Everybody say, little bit more. Now notice something about Isaiah 54. Jabez understood the prophetic word in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 2. This is what God says about you and me. Would you read it with some gusto? Would you read it with some volume? Let's do it. Come on. Enlarge the place of your tent. And let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. How many know that it's God's plan that you enlarge your territory? It's God's plan that you increase in revelation. You increase in understanding. So Jabez got a hold of that. All of his brothers were content to live in the dirt and complain about daddy's hanging, mama's jail time, sister running off, and brother being studied at Harvard. But Jabez had something inside of him that believed that God would not leave him in the same condition that he found him. That there was going to be a transformation in his life. You may look at me this week and I may be taking the bus, but by the time you meet me next year, I might just have me a brand new 2014 Honda Accord. I just want you to know that. I'm going to be driving it, and I'm not going to owe any money on it. It's going to be paid for. How do I know that? Because I'm going to be clothed in silver, and I'm going to sprout feathers of yellow gold. Because I just can't believe, like Joseph, that if I'm in a pit, that's God's plan. See, Joseph, you could throw him in a pit, and he was like, okay, okay, no problem. I'm looking for the palace, looking for the palace. Whoop, whoop. Now, the kids at the camp this past week at JK Camp, were wanting me to dance with them around the altars, you know. We went up there and we were dancing, I'm living for you, yeah, Jesus. And the girls started sporting all these cool dances like all this. And her name's Fabulous. That's her name. Isn't that a cool name? I mean, I'd like to have the name Fabulous, wouldn't you? Hi, well, what's your name? Fabulous. No, I didn't ask how you're doing. What's your name? Fabulous. And so we realize that we've got to understand that God wants us to get our dance on, get our dance back, and to realize that a pit's no problem for God. I'm destined for greater things. Do you understand something? I might be in a pit, but I don't belong here. I might be in the waiting room to see the doctor, but I don't belong here. I might be facing a false accusation in court, but I don't belong here. I know this is only momentary. I'm on my way through the pit, and I'm going to head up into the palace. But look what happened. On his way to the palace, he ends up in prison. But isn't it crazy what God does to people who understand who they are? Psalm 68:13, that you're about to be covered in silver and sprout gold feathers. He understands that even though he's in prison, it's not 3 days later and the jailer saying, look, Joseph, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm giving you the keys to the place. I want you to take charge because I trust you so much. In other words, no matter how the devil tried to push him down, Joseph kept rising up. You know why? Because he was more honorable than his brothers. I want to prophesy over every person in this room. You are about to be raised up into a new level of glory and blessing, not mattering where you've come from, how much pain you're currently in. You are destined to be clothed in silver, and you are about to sprout wings of yellow gold. Hallelujah. I'm going to close with this. I told the preacher not to be long today. He better listen. You remember the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15? If you don't know the story, his father was very wealthy and he said, Dad, look, I don't want to wait till you die. Give me my inheritance now. Father said, okay, son, you can have it. It's interesting the difference between Jabez and the prodigal. Jabez asked his father for the blessing. In other words, Jabez wanted to live his life under the hand of his father, whereas the prodigal wanted his dad's hand off of him. So the prodigal lived his life apart from the hand of God. Let me just say this to the graduates. When you leave here, do not put distance between yourself and the house of God. Understand the destiny and purpose of God. You may be among students of 50,000 on campus, but you're not like them. You're not one of them. Don't you let them convince you that you belong to what they do and what they represent. No, you are more honorable than they. And when a person lives under the hand of God versus throwing God's hand off of them, three things, and I'll end with this, occur in their life. You become more dependent on God. If you cast off God's influence, you become independent from God. When you walk under the hand of God, number two, you desire more of God. But when you throw off God's hand over your life, you desire him less and less because you become content with who you are and what you have. Thirdly, when you have God's hand on your life, you become more deeply devoted to God. But when you throw off God's hand on your life becomes divided. And you become dual-related, double-minded. I'm going to ask you today, no matter what pain level you might be in, no matter what degree of suffering you may have known, Jabez said, "Keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." Jesus said, when you pray, pray, "Our Father in heaven." He goes on to say this, "Deliver us from evil." Evil, my friend, is represented as sin. Sin will always come to kill, steal, and destroy. Sin will try to make its way into your life, disobedience to God for one purpose, to increase the level of your pain. But I've got a good news answer for you today. You may be in the middle of pain because of disobedience. Maybe you've blocked your ears to the voice of God. Maybe you have ignored Him, put distance between you and the house of God. Maybe you're now a distance away from Bethel, but you're in hard labor. Here's the good news. God will take you back right now. God will welcome you in this very moment. God will give you a new start and a new opportunity. And He wants to enlarge the place of your territory. You see, Luke chapter 5 was just a teaching on hearing the voice of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't go to church with average people. I don't have an average marriage. I don't have an ordinary life. There are thousands of people I'll pass on a day who have no clue what I'm living in and experiencing. I want them to know. Some of them are oblivious to it. But I refuse to identify with lack, poverty, brokenness, pain, sorrow. Oh, not that I won't go through it. But I know this, even though I'm lying among the sheepfold, even though I'm in laid off like everybody else, somebody knows my name. Somebody hasn't called me Ben-Ami Payne. They've called me Benjamin. I know that we're all laid off today from our employment, but I got a feeling my phone's ringing in the morning. I got a feeling silver lining is coming and gold feathers are about to sprout, because I just know that if God be for you, who can be against you? And I want to encourage you today. God loves you. He's got a plan for your life, and you are in the right place at the right time. You believe that? Shout amen. Amen. Close your eyes with me. Bow your head just for a minute. You say, "Hey, Pastor, man, you just hit it right on the bullseye for me today. I'm reoccurring pain, sorrow, this gnawing in my spirit, my soul. I'm always being beat up by what I've done or what others have said or what they've done. I want healed of this thing." Look, here's the solution. The solution is to hear the voice of God. And if you'll just take your empty net and in obedience cast it on the other side, I'm going to tell you by the authority of God's word that He'll fill it. And when He fills it, it'll be a net-breaking catch. And you're going to be an influencer of a blessing to all that you come in contact with. You say, "Pastor, I want that prayer. Man, I need that today. I've been looking at things to kind of ease my pain, like drugs and alcohol and fornication and perversions and secularism and ideologies, religion. I've been looking for all these things, and you know what? I come up empty all the time. I hear you today. I just need God. I need Jesus." That's you this morning. Nobody looking around. You'll say, "Pastor, would you include me in that prayer?" That's you. On the count of three, I want you to lift your hand up. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. If that's you, just hold it up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you in the back. Thank you over here. 2, 5, 6, 8, 10. I don't know how many. Lots of hands. Christians are praying. Put your hands down. Listen, it's not easy living a life of pain. Sometimes I look at individuals on walkers, or I see some of our servicemen coming home and servicewomen with partial limbs. I think, God, what courage they have, what sorrow they've been through. And many of them say they found something on the inside that elevated them to a new level. Let me tell you something. You're going to find something today that's going to elevate you to a new level. If you already raise your hand, don't do it now. Don't do it this time. But you didn't do it the first time, and you know you needed to. Would you quickly do it, acknowledging your need for this prayer? Anybody else across this room? Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you over there as well. You can put them down. I'm going to ask everybody to stand. Please stand respectfully, reverently to those around you. This is a God moment. You know what? When all you can do is play in the dirt with no hope and no help, the best thing that preacher could have done is offered that little boy eternal life. This is the beginning. This is the first day of your journey to recovery. I can assure you that God will not leave you down. He will bless you because you have something inside you that's greater than that which is trying to oppress you from the outside. I'm going to ask altar ministers to join me. If that's you today, would you come quickly? You raise your hand and you need that prayer. Would you come now from the back, the side, over to the front? Please do it now. Let's worship the Lord as we wait for the people to come. This is your miracle. This is your breakthrough. Go ahead and sing.
No limits, no boundaries. I see increase all around me. Stretch forth, break forth, release me, enlarge my territory. No limits,
come on,
no boundaries.
This is a great moment for you.
All around me.
Yeah.
Stretch forth, break forth, release me, enlarge my territory. No limits, no boundaries. I see increase all around me. Stretch forth.
Now, if you had someone next to you that raised their hand and you know that they want to go forward, but they feel a little hesitant, I understand that. But if you'll turn to somebody and say, look, if you raise your hand and want that prayer, I'll go with you. I was there once and I fully understand. But God will meet you at the point of your faith. Would you turn to somebody right now and ask them if they need that prayer and take them by the hand and bring them down to this altar and join them with one of these that are praying. We're so thankful and grateful for all of you. Tian and I are so excited for everything God's doing in your lives. Evelise, where are you? Are that right there? You can't really see her because she's standing, but there's going to be prayer from 7 to 9, beginning June 28th, right here in the auditorium, just seeking God, reading the Word, worshiping. Nothing formal, just a time of seeking God. And if you're interested at all, see Evelise. Louie's coming right now. Would you give us just 120 seconds? Come on, Lou. We're about to announce something that we're resurrecting after about 10 years. And it's going to be awesome. Lou?
Hey, everybody. Listen, real quick, as everybody's praying, we'll be sensitive to that. You can sit down if you want to. You don't have to stand. I need to share with you guys something that's so important. How many people in here have a smartphone, like an iPhone or a Droid or something like that? How many of you guys have Facebook on it? All right. If you can get it out for me right now, that'd be awesome. Get your phone out, and if you can get on Facebook and look up Trip to Hell, and like that page for me, that'd be awesome. Here's what we're doing, and we can't take a lot of time. Next Sunday is the 30th. Immediately following the service, we're going to have an information meeting about Trip to Hell. If you have never heard about it, it's an amazing, amazing production that has led thousands of people to Christ. In Lorain, Ohio, where Church on the North Coast has started, about 10 years ago is the last time we did this production. We're bringing it back. But we need your help. In fact, we need every single one of you to help. When we put this production on, we have probably 300 to 500 volunteers that make it possible. But here's what's crazy. Here's what's awesome is that of those 300 and 500 volunteers, over the course of 1 month's time, over 10,000 people came and saw this production. Over 3,000 people gave their hearts to Christ. An amazing opportunity to reach out to the lost and really, really provide for them the opportunity to meet Christ in a setting where otherwise they may never come to church or they may never have the opportunity to be introduced to Christ. So we need your help. We want to be able to put this on for everybody. It's going to be located in Lorain this year. 2014, we're going to do it again, and we're going to do it in Cleveland. So what I need you Cleveland folk to do is come out and help us. Next week, following service, we're going to have a big meeting, probably about 30, 45 minutes. We'll give you all the information about what's going to take place, where your help's going to be needed, but not just acting. We need everything from construction to tech support. And what's most important, we need prayer warriors. Because for every person that comes through that drama, that enters into that prayer tent following the drama, they need to be connected with Holy Ghost-filled, Christ-loving people that will help them be introduced to Christ, okay? So it's really important that if, no matter what you're thinking to yourself right now, they can't use me, or I'm too young, or I'm too old, that's not true. We need everybody. So plan to be here just for a few minutes next week after service. Get on that Facebook page, like it, because that's where all the information is going to be coming up to date, minute by minute, and we'll be able to get that done. So will you be with me next week? As soon as the service is over, hang out. All right, God bless you. Live right, pray hard, love everybody. All right, God bless you guys. Have a great afternoon.